Right, thanks very much for tuning in. And I don't think I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here or Strictly Come Dancing is on tonight, so hopefully no one's missing their favorite TV show. So this talk is an extended remix, as it were, of my propaganda article from the February edition of the Socialist Standard, which discussed a BBC documentary called Celebrity, a 21st Century Story. This programme, fortunately, wasn't just a bunch of talking heads reminiscing about the singers and models who dipped in and out of the spotlight over the last couple of decades. Running for 4 hours in total, the series had plenty of time to consider the place that celebrity culture has in our society and what shapes its changing trends. Commendably, the programme's focus was on economics and how celebrities contribute to the revenue of profit-hungry mass media giants. Aside from the show, and most of what I digest comes from the telly rather than from literature, but aside from the show, there's some sociological literature on celebrities' place in society. And what little I read tended to use lots of jargon terms, which threw me a bit. One word which stood out is celotoid, which sociologist Chris Rogek defined as someone who appears briefly in the spotlight but doesn't maintain the attention and sinks back into obscurity. I won't be using much jargon, but I'll start off with a couple of concepts which hopefully we'll be familiar with. So, as we know, capitalism turns us all into commodities, things to be bought and sold. As workers, our labour power is bought and sold on the labour market. And being a commodity on the labour market means that we have, or we're ascribed, an economic value. And how much we're worth as individuals is, to some extent, determined by our talents. More specifically, our value is influenced by factors like how much it costs to train us to be proficient in our work, or how many other people with similar skills we're competing against on the job market. Our personality has some influence as well. For example, the traits expected of someone working at managerial level could include more confidence or more assertiveness than required from someone lower down the corporate ladder. Looks are also a factor, and not just in how much someone fits in with what we're supposed to find attractive, but whether they sort of look the part for the job. And also, social connections also have some bearing on how well someone can rise to the top of their profession, whether through nepotism or networking. For a celebrity, some of these factors apply more than others, and they sort of tend to apply in a slightly different way. So for a celebrity, looks and personality are especially important, talent and training less so. Social connections are most important of all and take on a different form than for most of us. A celebrity doesn't just need to have allies in their own profession, but they also need to attract the support of thousands, if not millions, of complete strangers who they'll never meet. How popular a celebrity is can be measured by the numbers of likes or subscribers they have on social media, or the viewing figures or music downloads they attract. When someone has reached an uncertain critical mass of public prominence and popularity, they'll have ascribed to them celebrity status, big capital letters, flashing lights, all the rest of it. They will have been celebrified. And this means that they've become a particular kind of commodity. And the rest of this talk will look at the role that celebrities have in the economy. And alongside their economic role, celebrities also have an ideological role. They represent a particular kind of material success we're supposed to aspire to, and thereby they reinforce capitalist ideology. As research professor P. David Marshall explains, quote, "The celebrity as public individual who participates openly as a marketable commodity serves as a powerful type of legitimation of the political economic model of exchange and value, the basis of capitalism, and extends that model to include the individual, end quote. And that's from a 1997 book called Celebrity and Power, Fame in Contemporary Culture. So celebrities have taken commodification to an extreme by commodifying near enough everything about their lives and turning themselves into a brand. And this brand has to both stand out and be malleable to what the public supposedly wants. A brand needs an outlet, otherwise we'd never hear about it. And celebrities need the media to establish and maintain their status. In other words, the media acts like a gatekeeper to who we're supposed to be interested in. The changing nature of celebrity over the years hinges on changes to the media. And in particular, these are technological changes driven by what's profitable. So print media came first, and of course that goes back a good few hundred years, then recorded music, film and television. And now, of course, the internet is dominant in what we mean by the media, although the other outlets still remain important to varying extents. I'll next discuss the last couple of decades of changing trends in both celebrity culture and media technology, as the two go hand in hand. Much of what I'll cover comes from the Celebrity, a 21st Century Story documentary, which it's worth a watch on the BBC iPlayer. As I mentioned, it goes on for 4 hours, but it's not a boring watch at all. And plenty of archive footage and quite a bit of analysis as well from the pundits. And so after sort of a potted history of the last couple of decades, I'll then talk about how celebrity status has been used in the world of politics, and also the effect which celebrity status has on both celebs and the rest of us. So around the turn of the century, there was a shift in our definition of what a celebrity was, which could also be described as an expansion in the market. When the first set of contestants walked into the Big Brother house and onto our screens in the year 2000, a hit format was found. The exploits of the Big Brother housemates, especially when they found their own first pantomime villain in Nasty Nick, if anyone remembers him trying to cheat and manipulate his way to victory. Their exploits were soon all over the tabloids and took up office water cooler chats. Relatively high viewing figures for the programme meant that advertisers could be charged more to flog their wares during the show's ad breaks. And in its early years, Big Brother brought in as much as a quarter of Channel 4's advertising revenue. Not long after Big Brother was launched, the talent show format was revived, with Pop Idol and The X Factor especially feeding on the hopes of any of us proles to sell out Wembley Arena and top the charts. Talent shows are a blatant way of making celebrities. That's what they're all about, by testing out an act's popularity before they're awarded with a contract. Will Young and Gareth Gates, who were the winner and runner-up of the first series of Pop Idol back in 2002, went on to have quite significant careers, and I think they're both still around at the moment. And combined, their debut singles sold over 3 million copies. So the rise of this reality TV, both the Big Brother kind and also the talent show kind. So the rise of reality TV and its participants meant that celebrity status was no longer just reserved for a distant few, but could also be for, in inverted commas, ordinary people. What we mean by a celebrity has changed. The new breed of talent shows and Big Brother and its ilk emphasised the contestants' emotional journeys on the way to stardom and then let the public decide whose dreams would be crushed. The phone-in vote has been the usual way of deciding which contestants stay and which ones go, but this is less an exercise in democracy than a way of increasing revenue for the programme makers. income from the cost of calls has generated millions of pounds. So reality TV elevating ordinary people to star status became another source of profit for not just TV production companies, but also record labels, publicists and agents. Plenty of people have had their noses in the trough there. And reality TV has also been used by celebrities who made their name in other ways. Having a fly on the wall documentary is a reliable way to keep on delivering new content to fans, as discovered by model Katie Jordan Price and the Osborne family by 2002. And when broadcasting their usual routines become stale, celebs would later have the option of reinventing themselves by signing up for Celebrity Big Brother, Strictly Come Dancing, or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The last two are still, you know, big ratings winners. Celebrity Big Brother, along with Big Brother itself, has had its day. The way that celebrities have been presented on television is, of course, very much stage managed by directors, editors, and stylists. So it's all very sort of, well, not necessarily glossy, but selectively edited. So other sections of the media have aimed to reveal what celebrities get up to when they're away from the cameras and off duty, as it were. And the mid-2000s was a lucrative time for celeb-focused journals, with Heat magazine's circulation doubling, thanks to it tapping into the popularity of Pop Idol in particular. So if you're putting together a gossipy article about any celeb's not-so-private life, it needs to be accompanied by eye-catching photos. And these would be provided by the paparazzi at a price. So candid shots of Fern Britton on the beach or Charlotte Church in Tesco have been sold for thousands of pounds to glossy mags such as Heat and also OK and Hello. And the online equivalents of these magazines were the even trashier websites like Holy Moly and Pop Bitch, which had the advantage of being able to share snaps and titbits with their voyeuristic viewers straight away. And a consequence of the profitability of celebrity gossip magazines and blogs was a decline in newspaper sales, with tabloids losing millions of readers in the mid-2000s. Some newspapers fought back by trying to draw readers in with stories about the most personal details of celebrities' lives. Seedy journalists found material by digging into the tax and medical records of celebs and their families, and hacking potentially thousands of people's phones, most notoriously for the News of the World. And of course, that contributed to its undoing. So thanks to all of this, celebrities were losing control of how much of their lives were made public. As the 2000s turned into the 2010s, the territory of celebrities and how much control they had within it changed. There was another sort of shift. The fly-on-the-wall documentary approach morphed into the new genre of, in inverted commas, structured reality TV programmes. And the two most well-known ones are The Only Way is Essex and Made in Chelsea. Now, these shows stuck to the template of having cameras follow people around, but with the twists that these are, in inverted commas, real people, and that their lives have been made more watchable by producers giving them scenarios to improvise. And these scenarios are usually things like X dumps Y after being told that Y was flirting with Z, X chucks a drink in Z's face, and you know, you can probably imagine the kind of thing. These programs, to me at least, they're very weird, not only by sort of blurring the boundaries between what's manufactured and what's supposedly real, but they're almost like experiments in how much someone will allow themselves to be alienated from themselves. The people on these programs, they sort of sacrifice their lives to be sort of molded by television executives. It's quite bizarre, really. And the participants' public profiles are raised not just by the reality TV shows themselves, but also by their social media accounts, which over the last 10 or more years have become an increasingly important way for celebrities to manage their image or have it managed for them. When pop band One Direction were manufactured from X Factor contestants, each member had their own social media profiles to gauge the views of their fan base and harvest their data. A Facebook page or a Twitter account became a valuable combination of instant market research, an advert which distributes itself, and especially importantly, a means to sell endorsed products. And that there's these days there's an app for that too. Viewers of a matchmaking show Love Island use an app not only to vote for contestants, but also to buy whichever designs of bikinis they're wearing on each week's episode. And the Love Island app has generated £12 million in sales for ITV and its brands. I realised as I was reading this that I've used the word million quite a lot in the text, and obviously that's because there's a lot of big money out there in the celebrity market. Now, stars, of course, have been endorsing products for decades. That's nothing new. But what was emerging over the last 10 or so years was what's called the influencer. And that's a celebrity who uses social media to tie together their fame and what they market. And those two are much closer than in the past, where, yeah, a star would endorse a product, you know, for a short while, and then, you know, it would sort of slip off the radar. But with influencers, the commercial side of social media is tied very much into their identity as an influencer celebrity. And the biggest influencers have had enough clout to shape trends, and not just in what clothes or what jewellery people buy. For example, Kylie Jenner, she rose to prominence by being part of the Kardashian family on their TV show. And by the age of 20, she had over 100 million followers on social media app Instagram. And because of her influence, one message she posted criticising Instagram's rival Snapchat apparently took £1 billion off the latter's stock market value. Social media isn't just used by influencers, it also helps create them. And bedroom broadcasters became a new type of celebrity from around 2012, when 4G technology had spread enough to enable more people to make their own videos and upload them to YouTube. So a gaming or a makeup vlogger whose videos get hundreds of millions of views a month, of course, represents hundreds of millions of potential customers to target with adverts and endorsements. And apparently by 2015, YouTube creators had become more popular and influential than traditional entertainment stars. And that was according to a survey carried out by Variety. Over the past few years, social media has become the main way for anyone with a public image to stay relevant and also to maintain some control of how they're perceived. The royal family, who a few years earlier would have thought that such things were beneath one, jumped on the bandwagon, led by Meghan Markle. Before she married into the firm, she'd already used her acting roles to attract readers to her lifestyle blog, which brought her tens of thousands in sponsorship and endorsements. And now she and Harry, the husband formerly known as Prince, promote themselves through their Sussex Royal Instagram account. Although, of course, in recent days, it's all turned a bit sour between them and the rest of the royals. All of their recent Oprah documentary, that's bound to draw in more viewers. And, when I was putting this together there, the Sussex Royal Instagram account had over 10 million followers. Probably more now. And the other Windsors also have profiles on Twitter and Facebook. And this allows them to shape whatever pronouncements they make without needing to go through the traditional and unreliable intermediaries like the press. But of course, it's not just the royals. Politicians have done the same, and Donald Trump, in particular, took full advantage of social media, using his Twitter feed to criticize much of the mainstream media, as well as inflicting his many deranged thoughts on us. So the rise of power of both Donald Trump and Boris Johnson can be attributed in part to how they celebrified themselves by building their brands through the media. And taking a bit of a step away from social media, the media in general. Boris Johnson came from a journalistic background, and Trump was the star of The Apprentice USA. So they were both already aware of the need for media presence. Before Trump started presenting The Apprentice in 2003, his businesses had been in the doldrums, and he used the show to make his companies, and therefore himself, look bigger than they really had been. As the BBC documentary says, Trump then used the tools of reality TV not only to win viewers, but to win votes. Boris Johnson was keen to use any and every publicity stunt to further his career, including appearances on Have I Got News for You and EastEnders. And there's that cringeworthy footage of him hoisted up on some sort of I was going to say gibbet there, but hoisted up on some sort of crane with waving Union Jack flags. I can't remember what that was about now, but he looks an absolute tool doing it. But with that kind of thing, there's no such thing as bad publicity, it seems. And using celebrity status as a springboard into politics isn't anything new. We can cast our minds back to Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they both built up a presence through their acting careers before they then switched to politics. Although I think both of them are sort of a bit of a reputation as wooden actors, but that didn't really seem to damage their transition into the world of politics. But the difference now from the previous decades is the greater extent to which politicians use the media, not just for a platform, but to try and make themselves more relatable. Johnson himself once quipped during a speech, quote, "If Parliament were a reality TV show, then the whole lot of us, I'm afraid, would have been voted out of the jungle by now." Which is a sort of desperate link of his to try and get down with the kids and make himself and his shower more relevant. But so politicians have seen how celebrities use TV to gain a following, and they want to ape this for themselves. There's a long list of celebrities who've who've courted television. Jeremy Corbyn went on Gogglebox. Anne Widdecombe and Ed Balls rumbered and sousered on Strictly Come Dancing. George Galloway pretended to be a cat on Celebrity Big Brother. That's another big cringe moment there. And even Boris Johnson's awful family have got in on the act, with his father and sister slumming it on I'm a Celebrity. Interviewed for the BBC documentary, ex Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer Ed Balls says that being a politician put, quote, a thick prism of glass, unquote, between him and other people. And he was of the opinion that his appearance on Strictly Come Dancing broke down this barrier so people could see the real him. And he adds that doing Gangnam Style meant that, quote, I'd done my bit to make the country feel a little bit better, unquote. Not quite sure how much irony he sort of loaded into that sentence, or how much he really he really believed it. I think he did believe it, to be honest. He's turned into a bit of a he's all over the media. I saw him the other day on a cookery program, but I suppose now that the politics has dried up for Ed Balls, that's the next step. So while politicians have tried to tap into the world of celebrity to get support, it also goes the other way around. Celebrities have also used their status to make a political stand. going back a couple of years, actresses attending the 2018 Grammy and Golden Globe Awards award ceremonies wore black and brought Me Too and Time's Up activists with them to the red carpet in support of the movements, which of course was given impetus when film producer Harvey Weinstein was revealed as a sex offender. Kim Kardashian was influential enough to encourage Donald Trump to pardon and release someone called Alice May Marie Johnson, who'd been convicted of drug trafficking. And more recently, footballer Marcus Rashford has headed a campaign aimed to tackle poverty. And DJ Joe Wiley raised awareness of the lack of priority people with learning disabilities to have the COVID vaccination, which I suspect contributed to a change in policy. So while these celebrities would say that their status has enabled them to make positive changes for other people as well as themselves, many celebrities have experienced the downsides of being in the public eye. Constantly being scrutinized and used has had an effect on the celebrities themselves. Prince Harry recently said that the influence of the press on his life was, quote, destroying his mental health. And he's bound to also be thinking of what happened to his mother there. A celebrity's mental health problems and substance misuse, both usually fueled by being in the limelight, have repeatedly been turned into a spectacle by websites and print. And one of the most severe examples of this was in 2007, when singer Britney Spears, who was struggling in her personal life at the time, confronted one of the photographers who was stalking her and attacked his car with an umbrella. And rather than that being, something that the paparazzi would have a bit of decorum about or a bit of tact, that incident turned out to be another gold mine for the paparazzi, who sold pictures of the sad incident for around about $400,000. And the push for ever more brazen and irreverent content has led to many women celebrities being victim to body shaming, upskirting, and having sex tapes of them posted up online. And while these ways of objectifying women are a bit less acceptable now, women celebrities are still sexualized in the media to a much greater extent than men are. And some have turned this to their own advantage, as it were, such as Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, who both became famous through sex tapes being leaked onto the internet. And they both sort of worked for each other. I can't remember what way around it was now. I think Paris Hilton was on Kim Kardashian's staff and obviously realized that having a sex tape leaked onto the internet was the career path to go, so that their careers both started out from sex tapes into reality TV, and that exposure gave them hundreds of millions of fans, who of course became the audiences for their newly commissioned reality TV shows. So what effect does celebrity culture have on its consumers? Those who follow celebrity social media accounts or who watch reality TV are, to some extent, being manipulated. And this isn't so that we'll buy an endorsed product or phone in to vote on a reality TV show, but perceptions of what it means to be successful are also being shaped. Success is defined as being popular, supposedly good-looking, and wealthy. And of course, the desire to be famous is a desire for this. It's a desire to aspire to buy into capitalist ideology and alienation. And it's not quite the same as the desire to be a famous actor or a famous writer or a famous chef, where the skill is relevant and hopefully more of a motivation than fame. So, yeah, there's a slight difference between, wanting to be famous for something and just wanting to be famous for the sake of being famous, or being famous because you're famous. To sum up, celebrity status now carries some political power as well as economic power, and how this power has been expressed has changed over the years, alongside the developments in media technology, from print journalism and TV through to the internet and especially these days, social media. And as technology has become more sophisticated, it has led to more precise ways of analysing us as consumers and pushing us to follow celebrity trends and buy more. Watching reality TV or flicking through a copy of Heat magazine or subscribing to a YouTube influencer, we often just think of that as a guilty pleasure, a brief escape from our own humdrum, stressful lives. But most importantly, celebrity culture has been shaped by what the media industry finds to be most profitable for its owners, and so manipulates and exploits both celebs and ourselves. Thank you. Cheers.